Today, I want to talk about what is at our center. And for today's message, I would really like for us to just reflect. There's going to be some questions that I'm going to ask, and they're questions that you don't have to answer right away, but questions you can think about, right? So what is at your center, right? How do you know what is there truly, right? How do you find out? For me, I like to think of it as like, what do you think about nonstop? Like, what consumes your thought life? What do you think of more than 50% of the time, right? Those of you who know, you know right away, right? Right when I said that, boom, first thing that pops in your head, that's it, right? You don't have to think much about it because it's always there, right? Some of us, yeah, Jesus, woohoo, you know? And then for a few of us, myself included, at times, something else will take that spot, right? So what are some of the things that we in the modern world think about from time to time, right? Like, what are some examples? Like, how many people like my Instagram post? You know, some of us, we think about that, you know? We post something and we're always... Does that ring a bell? Like, I'm not trying to like put anybody down or throw shade, you know, because I'm right there, right? What did that person mean when they said that one thing to me, right? Some of us can be very overthinkers, right? Overthinking club, you know, for a lot of the bros, you know, like, oh, how are my investments doing? How are my stocks doing? You know, like, oh, we're thinking about, oh shoot, the market. Like here's a brilliant example, right? You go up to someone and you go like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Or you kind of come up with the response of like, oh yeah, my stocks are doing great. So I'm good, right? Boom, gotcha, right there, right? See, at the center of each and every person, there is a desire and there is a longing and there is just an obsession inside of each and every person. And that obsession, that desire, that longing is what really makes or breaks how we feel throughout our day, throughout our week, our month, our year, right? And depending on what it is, it can make decisions for us rather than us controlling that thing that we are obsessed with, right? Another big one, my favorite, things that we think about a lot, money, right? Money, ooh, money. Such a sensitive, like a topic, ooh, money, ooh. And probably the biggest one that can take more than 50% of our thought life, right? And it's very simple. It's all of these things combined, and that's worrying, right? How many of us tend to worry a little bit excessively within our own boundaries and on our own convictions, right? Yep, me too, right? But here's the thing. We are designed by God to worship. Amen? Right? There is also a desire inside of each and every person, and this goes beyond our religious practices, right? What we're told to do, what we are told that we have to do, right? You don't have to tell anybody to worship, because deep down in every person, secular or not, right, we all worship something, right? Does that make sense? Matthew 6:24 says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." See, Jesus, I love Jesus sprinkling in money, which I always wondered why he, of all things that where Jesus put next to God, right? God and money, being the one thing that was put next to his name, because God is all powerful and almighty and all of these things. But why money, right? Think about it. If you're, has anyone ever asked you that question of like, oh, what if you won the lottery right now? Right? Ever thought about that? Oh, what would I spend it on? What would I do with all that money? Some of us are like, I'll buy my parents a house. I'll buy this person this and this person that. Get out of here. Come on. You know what you're going to do with that money. Maybe that. Maybe you're a pure saint. Maybe you're awesome like that. Right? Think about it. If you were to have all the money in the world, realistically, you don't need God. Because what does money give you? It gives you peace, gives you security. It makes you feel safe, right? It's like a counterfeit version of God, right? Money, right? And money isn't bad. Money is not a bad thing. It's the love of money that is the bad thing, right? That's the sour taste. I would describe it in like in God's mouth of when it comes to money, right? It's that love, that lust for money, right? Same thing with alcohol, smoking, all of these like narcotics, right? It can be a god to you in your life if you let it, but money can only be a god in your can be God. Small g, right? I'm saying small g, right? In your life, if you worship it, right? But Jesus, whether you worship him or not, he is king and he is Lord and he is God, no matter what. Amen? See, when we refuse or when we don't worship God, by default, we worship creation instead of the creator. So Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, Paul sums it up very clearly when he writes a letter to Romans. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That deserves an amen. Amen. Thank you. Worship is part of our DNA. You cannot take that off. You cannot take that away. You cannot remove that from us. And I think the devil knows that. The devil knows that. He's tricky like that. He's a little slippery guy for that. When what he does is he tries to convince us, right? Here, the one thing I love what my dad says. He works 24/7, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? To do what? To just ruin your life, right? And part of that is he tries to convince us to worship something else, right? Worship the creation instead of the creator, right? He uses that thing, that desire in us that God put inside of us and to twist it into his own narrative to just ruin things, to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's a good thing to have that desire to worship. It's only when it's unto the right thing, on the correct path. So I'm asking you this question, right? What is at your center, right? And we find out by asking ourselves really tough questions, right? And for some of us in this room, you already know. You already know what is in your center, what is there planted deep within you, right? And whatever it is, it cannot share this like with anything else, right? Whatever is in your center, it's one thing. It cannot be two things at the same time, right? Same thing when we have God, when we worship God, we cannot worship anything else. Yes, money, one thing, but ourselves, right? Worship possessions, right? If you want to worship possessions, you know, casinos right there. We got the money church, right? And we have the gym, which is the self church, right? The self-image church. And then don't get me started on the mushroom church. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a bunch of churches, but none of that stuff, none of that garbage compares to Jesus and what he has and what he brings, because it's forever. All that stuff, that building will, its foundations will crack, it will fall, it will fall apart. But this house right here, it's not just a building, it's a people, it's a nation, right? One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yeah? Yeah? Those of us who were in school here in the U.S. I think that was fitting, you know, given that 4th of July was 2 days ago. Just saying. So when we plant Jesus at our center, right, when we do some digging, right, and it always ends with this, right? We live our lives favoring possessions and favoring people's opinions until we get sick and tired, right? That's where it all comes down to. I'm sick and tired of this. Same thing over and over again. See, that's what got me to ask myself that question, because where this message really came from in my life was in my first year of ministry school. I remember I had so much stuff just like hit me at once. This girl that I liked didn't like me back, and I wasn't able to pay rent that month or something like that, like finance issues. And my roommate, the guy I shared the room with, literally he sat me down and he literally, homeboy, busted out the whiteboard to like teach me a little bit on finding like what is at my center. He was asking me that question. It's like, inside of you, there is something. And he was like, and there was a very clear distinction based on my exterior, right? I'm super sensitive. I'm on edge. I'm pissed off. I'm annoyed at everything. And I'm flipping and flopping. And he drew this picture, which I wish I had like a drawing thing over here to show you for all you visual learners. I drew it on my thing here. I don't know if you guys can like zoom in on that. I'm sorry if you guys have bad vision, but in here, right in the center, is God, right? I kind of put it in my own, I filled it in the circle kind of like in my own way of how I would put things in my life. But think of it like this: God is in your center, right? And then outside of that, right, what else is there, right? For me, I put family, right? That comes after God. First comes God, right? Next comes my family, right? I'm not married yet. We'll be soon, you know, don't you guys wait. Next year, 2026 is gonna be awesome. And then right after family, ministry, right? Because how many of us know family comes before ministry? Come on. And then after that, I put finances, you know, work, you know, all these things, like responsibilities, all of that stuff. And then after that, just for fun, I put fishing, okay? Fishing. I like fishing. Maybe not as much as some other people in this room, but I like fishing. I like it. It's relaxing, okay? So depending on what is in your center, what is there and what you call your own, as your own, it sets up a foundation in your life, right? God is unstable. God is stable, right? All the time. Oh, oops. Ooh. God is stable all the time. He's unshakable, right? We are the ones that are unstable from time to time, right? If let's say I really like this certain person, right? Or let's say, let me put my fiance there, right? If I am obsessed with her, she is all I think about, all of these things, which partially is true, you know, I love her, you know, but her and I have this unique dynamic where we both understand that in our lives, while we love each other so much, God comes first. Because God is first in our relationship, in our friendship, and in our marriage, soon to be marriage. I gotta say it like that, because I don't want to rush things. And if I put her in my center, right, she has feelings, right? Sometimes she feels great, right? Sometimes she doesn't feel great, right? And if she feels great, I feel great. And if she doesn't feel great, I don't feel great, right? But God, he feels good all the time. He's awesome. He is 100% like on a rock, not budging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will not change. He will always be good. And if I put him there, then I have this big rock to just lean on and just rest and just know that everything's gonna be all right. Because if I put it in someone who, you know, let's say if it's a different person, it's like a group of people, right? And I attach myself to this group of people. And if I feel like they like me in a certain moment, then I feel great. But if they don't, let's say they leave me out of, like, I get left out of, like an event, right? They didn't invite me to go fishing. And I'm like, if that is at my center, then I feel like garbage. I don't feel good. And God does not want that for us. To rely, to put our trust in people for our identity, for how we think about ourselves, because God belongs. God knows where he belongs in our life, right? And I think there's just this undenying feeling that God does not compete, okay? He does not compete for that spot, that he knows where he belongs, okay? Because we have the free will, the choice to put him there or not. Okay? That is our choice. But he knows, right? It's like when you put in a destination on your maps, right? And you're going, it takes you like 20 minutes to get to church or whatever, and you take a detour, right? What does it do? Rerouting, recalculating, rerouting. Right? No matter how far away you go, all the way to the eastern seaboard, right? The GPS will always point back to where it was 20 minutes away from where you originally took off, right? But oftentimes in our lives, we just take a detour, but it's always pointing where you know you need to go and where he wants you to go, no matter what, okay? And sometimes it's okay. I feel that in some points in my life and in some moments or seasons where I put something else instead. And what happens is, like, in that picture, right? God is in the middle. He just moves down, right? But that's up to us, right? And then when we have that, like, light bulb moment, like, oh, holy smokes, what am I doing? Boop, it goes back to the center. And then what happens? Then we take that, like, 14-hour drive that was originally 20 minutes back to where we should have gone. And then there we are, where we need to be, right? But there are consequences to, you know, going away from that. But God is with us in there, okay? So how do I know if I am truly centered in Christ? Right? If in my center, if you're asking yourself, how do I know if what I am doing is where I should be and where I belong with Christ, right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Okay? So think about it like this. Yeah, a foundation. Okay? We build our foundation on the word, right? Relationship, okay? Because in the world, right, you have people waving rainbow flags and being like, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm like, what does that even mean? You know? Come on. So when you follow his teachings, you'll know because you're standing on a solid rock. You don't feel worried about how many people like my Instagram post? How much money is in my bank account? Do they like me? Ooh. How are my investments doing? Right? We're not worried about that. That is gone. It's in the past, right? But when we are, when you can tell when you're not centered, when you're prioritizing worldly possessions, right? Cars, money, clothes, all of these things. Like, it's okay to have it as like an expression. Like, I like to dress up. You know, I like to look okay-ish, you know, I like to dress nice for my lady, but it's an expression of who I am. I don't sit there like staring at my closet for like 2 hours, you know, getting frustrated. And then I end up putting on the exact thing that I put on at the beginning. And I just do like a whole woo and then boop right there. Same outfit, just black shirt, white t-shirt. All right, I'm good to go. Right? We know when we're not centered, when we're easily influenced by other people. I remember when I was a teenager, I was very clingy. I was always a follower. I always followed people. I was always like doing things only if other people were doing it, you know? And I always found myself doing things and being in places I didn't want to be. But I was there because I wanted to make people like me. I wanted to be appealing. I wanted to do the things that made me feel cool and popular. But no matter what I did, I never got there. I tried, but shoot, I was always like picked last. I was always laughed at. But that wasn't the point, you know. I just wanted to feel like I mattered, right? When we're unstable, right? You feel good one day, and then the next day you don't feel good. That's also a sign. And then there's also cycles, right? When we fall into cycles, the circle, same thing. We're doing the same thing over and over, and we're wondering why, you know? Right? And now the other way around. What does a Christ-centered life look like? Okay? You are unshakable and you're unfazed by anything. Nothing surprises you that happens in this world. Like you read in the news something, someone said this and this, and you're like, gosh, that's bad. Oh my gosh. Man, we need Jesus. You love what he loves and you hate what he hates. Okay? Your priorities are his priorities and his priorities are yours. Day after day, you see what he sees. You know, there's like a verse in Samuel where Samuel, when he was looking for a prophet or looking for a king, right? And he saw Saul and he saw how attractive he was. He was a head taller than everybody. He's like, yeah, him, you know? It was when Samuel was picking out the David's brothers. He was going like, and then he's like, you sure you don't got anybody? He picked out one guy who looked good, and God was like, only I see the things that people don't see, which are like the roots, right? God always sees the roots, right? And when we're next to God so much, right? And we're with him 24/7, or at least in our thought life, right? Think of it like this. How many of us have like a best friend? Who has like a best friend, right? Good. See, do you ever catch yourself doing something that they do or saying the same things that they do, right? See, that is like part of us as another thing that's part of us as humans. It's like the closer we are to someone, like when we're exposed to certain people for an extended period of time, we start to become like those people in a short version of our own self, like a variation of us still. We're not like copy pasting, but we're like adding things into our life. And the longer we're with this person, the more we almost don't really recognize ourselves at like 5-10 years later on. We're like, what the heck? Especially for like married couples, I would imagine, you know, not yet, next year. Okay. Same thing with Jesus, right? When you spend time with Jesus, when you spend time with God, who do you look like? You look like him, right? That's what we're truly after. That's why, you know, our main mission is to know and to be known by him, to love and to be loved by him. Because who else would you rather look like? Anybody else or him? I choose him all the time. You know, and it's not an easy thing to do because, like, man, I feel like a puppy sometimes. I'm like, oh, like this, oh, this sounds fun. And then I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, you know, y'all seen puppies, like puppy behavior. It's like a lot of us are like that. You know, we get distracted very easily, you know, and in this life, it's kind of like, It's like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing, you know? Like we're moving, we're still going straight, but we're taking a step back every once in a while due to our behavior as just like human beings. Right? So to put Christ into your center is to make him bigger, right? If we want to, and if we want to keep him there, right? We make him bigger, bigger and bigger and bigger. And we make our problems smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Because we all have problems. We all got problems. We all got issues, okay? We got to stop worrying. We got to stop worrying about them. Because worrying is worship. When you're worrying constantly, you're worshiping the problem rather than the solution. Amen? Can I get an amen for that? That was a good one. So stop worrying. For all you, you know, there's like a warrior and then there's a worrier, you know. We got to stop being warriors and be warriors. Does this resonate with some people in this room? Awesome. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to, if I could have us all stand. And we just put on some music. And I want to invite the front to those of you who I was speaking to this whole time. I'm speaking to a bunch of people, okay? I don't know who specifically got something that stood out to them. But if that's you, I want you to just come up to the front. And I want you to just receive prayer, okay? Because there is nothing wrong with wanting to get things right, okay? Because if we are designed to worship, okay? And to get life right, we have to get worship right. And to get life right is to worship right, and vice versa. So, for those of you in this room who are longing, who have had that I'm sick and tired moment this week, right? This week alone, okay? Maybe this is you for a while, okay? But you're coming here a lot of the times, some of you, and you're receiving words, you're receiving affirmation, you're receiving some things, but you're finding it within yourself that it's not enough. I need, there's something else. And you're asking God, there has to be more. And if those of you in this room that want to recenter your life towards God, I want you to just come up to the front, if there's anybody. Sweet. Thank you, God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this room. I thank you for each and every person in this room. Those who are willing and those who are just watching here. Lord, I ask right now that you reveal their heart's desire, Lord. I just pray right now that you unlock their desire towards you, that you bring them back to their first love. I feel like just saying that over and over to you guys right now. Just go back to your first love. Close your eyes. And just look back to when you had that first encounter with God and you saw him so powerfully and so wonderfully. Lord, I just pray right now that you fill them with your love and you fill them with your power. And can I get a few people just putting some hands on them, ministry team, leaders? Lord, I just thank you right now for their faith. I thank you that you are here and you are here for a reason. And that this isn't just a moment. This isn't just a time that we just think about you, but this is a moment in time in our lives that we cherish, that we reflect on. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you are so good. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with us this entire time, our whole lives, Lord. Our walk with you up to this point has led up to this. Thank you, Jesus. And if I could have everyone just extend their hands right now to these people. Those of you who are back there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are all that we want. You are all that we need. You are all that we need, Jesus. There is nothing in this world that compares to you, Jesus. I could say this forever and ever, over and over, and each time a new revelation of your love is revealed. Thank you, Father, for what you do and who you are. Thank you for that first love encounter. That first love encounter. We pursue you, God, but you pursue us first. Thank you, Father. You are our center, Jesus. We are desperate for you. I'm gonna do something very risky, and I might get, you know, a look for it, but can I have worship team, just the singers, come up? I just have one song request. Maybe just you, Karina. All right. I want us to just close our eyes right now and just picture ourselves sitting in our room with no lights. Just us and God. Just sitting in our room. And for those of you who are wanting to want God, like you know what to do, but you're wanting to want Him. I want you to just think about what He is saying to you in that moment. Thank you, God. We are all longing for you. I thank you, Lord, that you are revealing in each heart in this room where our true desire belongs, where the true crying out of our hearts, where it really belongs. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing your heart. And here's what I want us to do. You guys are the choir. And I want you guys to just sing with them. Let's all sing together. How lost we are without him. How desperate we are for him.
I'm desperate for you.
We are so lost without you, Jesus. Even for a moment, when a moment goes by where I'm not thinking about you, I feel lost and I feel desperate for something. I feel desperate for you, Jesus, because you are what truly matters in this world. That we want, Jesus. You are my everything, Lord.
I'm lost without you.
You are my beginning and you are my end. You are my everything, King Jesus. Thank you, God, for revealing your heart. Revealing your nature for who you truly are. Not just a feeling. Not just a moment. But something and someone we can keep for ourselves for the rest of our days. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Just put his name on your lips. Jesus. Jesus, I thank you right now for my brothers and sisters, every single person in this room, and those who are even watching online, Lord, that you display your power and your glory in them. Because we all need more of your glory, Jesus. Show us your glory, God. Let us not forget, Lord. Let us never forget.
where you truly belong, where you are truly, truly Lord. You are King of all kings in our lives, Jesus. Let us never forget that. And we love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, let's all give him glory. Thank you, Jesus.